gang. Bob Bovin here to welcome you to a brand new series on the Mystery Project. In the Blood is the story of Marty Carlin, a police detective in Toronto, who finds himself driven by circumstance to abandon his career and return to his roots in Halifax. And how this happens is laid out tragically in our opening installment, Self-Contained by Paul Ledoux. Starring Barry Dunn as Marty Carlin, Episode 1 of In the Blood.
Where to start? Toronto. 5 days ago. 5:10 a.m. Me and my partner Brian Cooper were parked out back of an East End warehouse. Our car jammed in the darkest corner we could find. We were sitting in an empty lot, watching a particular shipping container, and waiting for a man called...
Stanko Velchev. Even his name sounds crooked.
Yeah. Old Stinko is the kind of refugee that Reform Party flacks salivate over.
I think they've got a point. When a low-life fence can get refugee status, something is definitely wrong.
Hey, he's from Bulgaria, and he got in while the Cold War was still hot. Guess you're too young to remember how much immigration loved a Red on the Run.
Yeah. What was it like back then, Grandpa?
You're such a hard-nosed doofus.
Hey, I'm the youngest detective on the Metro Toronto Police Force. I gotta be hard-nosed. Especially when riding with a senior officer.
You knock it off.
Marty, that's your sixth can.
It's just Coke, Brian, and I'm thirsty.
Thirsty? You could be a hydroponic garden. And I'm so sick of looking at that container, I could puke.
Look on the bright side, Brian. The container company said they'd pick up by six. If Stinko's gonna load the damn thing, he's gotta do it soon. I got a whiz.
Again?
We only rent it, Brian. Yell if you need me. I'll be out back at the dumpster. I felt weird. To tell you the truth, I've been feeling weird for days. Like my body was out of proportion with the world around me. And my concentration, not up to par. Kept on meaning to go to the doctor, but I knew what he'd say. Lose 20 pounds. I didn't want the obvious on a medical report to the department. I was 46, and I knew they were already sizing me up for a desk. And some days, I felt like I was ready. I was finishing up on the far side of the dumpster when... Velchev. Right on time. And I could hear a little voice somewhere saying, Zivangarm. But everything was moving slow. So slow.
Ugro.
Oh, for God's sake, Stan. It's the middle of the night. There's no one here.
Maybe. But if anybody hanging around, I want to know about it.
They hadn't seen me. I knew that, but something was wrong. I felt like I was swimming in molasses.
This is stupid. 3 years we've been. Hey! You in the car, what are you doing?
It was going bad. Brian was making his move without me. I was trying to unholster my gun. I yelled,
okay,
hey, hold it right there. But nothing came out. Nothing.
Metro Police, raise your hands above your head.
Brian was out of the car, gun out. He had the guy cold, but Velchev? I saw him in the shadows. Saw the glint of a gun barrel. Everything went black. I came to. I was lying beside the garbage dumpster. The container was gone, the loading dock empty. Had no clear idea what had happened. That wasn't surprising given the slice across the side of my skull. I wandered around in a daze. Then I remembered.
Brian. Brian, you okay? Brian! 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 Brian!
So, that's it. I come to and I can't remember anything.
What'd the doctors say?
Doctors? You go in with a bump on your head, first thing you know, they're taking your blood. No apparent concussion.
Then why don't you remember what happened?
Hey, you get hit across the head with a pipe, I bet you wouldn't remember anything either. The only clue we've got is the container. Shipped east out of Toronto on a fast freight. So, here I am.
But you could have flown to Montreal, cracked the container, and saved the TO police the cost of an overpriced ticket to the Maritimes.
Belchev will show in Halifax.
They say you can never go home again. But in the Maritimes, everybody knows coming home is inevitable. It's in the blood. Genetic. A mystical salmon run of the soul. I hate fish.
And what makes you so sure he's headed here?
You always loved the third degree, didn't you, McNeil?
Just liaison is all. That was the assignment. Liaise with the detective from T.O. So, why so sure?
The container is logged, domestic destination. Last stop, Halifax. But it's headed for Bulgaria, so he's got to make a switch.
But what makes you so sure it's headed for Bulgaria?
I've got his M.O. down, okay? I've been on Belchev's ass for months. 3 times a year, he flies to Bulgaria. He comes back, he makes a big deposit. Got it?
Sure. Take it easy, Bernie.
I'm sorry, Danny. It's just...
Yeah. Your partner, right? I heard.
Brian's not in that container.
I didn't say he was.
I thought it through. They jumped me and knocked me out. If they shot Brian, they would have had to shoot me too. So he's got to be alive. That's the only way it makes sense. Right, Denny?
Sure, that's the only way it makes sense. It's gonna be okay, Marty.
Sergeant Dennis McNeil. I was 12, he was 21. He caught me boosting candy out of the store on the corner of Cabot and Agricola. He sentenced me on the spot, 1 month of weekends at the police boys' club. End of the sentence, and I kept coming back. I never really stopped getting into trouble. But Denny never gave up on me either. Anyway, when I decided to go straight, being a cop didn't seem to be a half bad idea. I kind of hoped it would make him proud. So why was I chewing his head off? Maybe because I was more worried about what was in that container than I was prepared to admit. Halifax, Nova Scotia. The port. The fog hovering over Black Rock Beach, just like I remembered. Smelling the sea, the sickly aftertaste of death caught in the back of my throat.
Well, there's your container here.
Yeah. Remember what it was like down here in the old days? Remember? Me and Patty? The harbor police on our tail? We could go up those crane-cutting cliffs like mountain goats.
Right. With Patty's little brother Bruce hanging off his neck like a chimp. Regular dead-end kids.
We couldn't wait to get our stevedores papers.
Right. They were licensed to steal. Fact is, the containers saved the port.
Oh, yeah, right. Nothing falls off the back of a truck anymore.
Well, no, I didn't say that. But the boys have had to become more... creative.
Jesus, buddy, you're so dumb you don't know if your ass was punched aboard.
That's Freddy Ferret.
Yeah.
If I would have given you any money, he'd be dead by now.
Yeah, or at least in jail. But you know Freddy, tough as a boiled owl and slippery as an eel.
Yeah, well, if you don't like it, Clyde, I can show you where to shove it.
So now he's a crane jockey.
How else can you steal a container?
Why in hell don't they just fire him?
Hey, his father still runs the union.
Same old town, eh? Corrupt from the bottom up.
Martin, you've picked up some foul attitude towards this place.
Nothing personal, eh?
Marty, you got people here who care about you. You can't get more personal than that.
Sorry, Denny. Damn it, the place is haunted. Every second corner reminds me of something I screwed up. Nothing good ever happened to me till I got out of here.
Well, thank you very much.
Four Winds Enterprises was one of those nondescript outfits you find tucked away in old warehouses down on the docks. They were marine consultants, outfitters, salvage brokers. And they bought and sold Navy surplus. Anything to turn a buck. Including freight forwarding. The proprietor, E.M. Matthews, was a fireplug in an old Caldwell Brothers tweed. He was more than happy to be of assistance.
So, you've dealt with Baltic Enterprises before?
Oh, yes. They've been steady customers for, well, several years now. Small contracts, but very prompt in their payments, unlike most of our other Toronto clients.
And they always ship through Halifax?
No, according to our records, ship to Halifax. Domestic cargo only.
Contents?
General merchandise. Of course, given the proper paperwork, no one would ever look inside.
Yeah, about that. I made a request for a warrant.
Yeah, it's taken care of.
Okay. So we got an ETA on the train?
Mm-hmm. We're looking at 2,400 hours. But you know the CNR.
Right. Just one more question. How hard would it be to reroute a domestic container to a foreign destination?
Well, it would double the paperwork, and then customs would want to look. It's not the way I'd do it.
Right. Well, thanks. I'll need you down here when the train arrives.
Oh, of course. Oh, in the meantime, I hope you'll take a chance to see a bit of the province. Peggy's Cove is quite majestic this time of year.
Yeah, if you don't get washed off the rocks.
Yes, well, unfortunately, you can't always see the big wave coming.
Carlin Residence?
It's me.
Hi, babe. How's it going?
I'm beat. You?
Fine.
How's Mary doing?
Her husband is missing. How do you think?
Right.
I'll go over again in the morning.
Thanks. So how's Pat?
He's jealous.
Of what?
You. According to him, the grunge scene in Halifax is still very hot.
Yes, as if it wasn't grungy enough already. Anyway, you got a pencil? I'm at the Wentworth Suites. 902-422-0344.
44. Okay? Got it. I thought you were going to call my father.
I know, but I'm not going to have any time for family visits.
He'll have my hide if he finds out you didn't stay with them.
I'll keep a low profile.
Right.
I mean it. Nobody knows I'm here. And, hang on, somebody's at the door. Yeah, coming. Yes, sir, what can I do for
you? How are you, you old Hydrostone hillbilly?
Bruce?
Put her there, Marty. Damn, it's good to see you. I heard you were in town, so I called up Denny.
Yeah, come in. I'm on the phone to my wife. Hi, Sharon.
Who's that?
It's Bruce. Patty's brother.
No one knows I'm here, huh?
Okay, all right. I better go.
Yeah, but before you go, Dr. Phillips left a message on the machine. He got the test results and said you should phone him first thing tomorrow.
Phillips? Sure, I'll pencil him in.
You do it, Marty. I know you and doctors.
Okay, I promise. Tell Pat if he bashes up the car while I'm away.
Pat is on the skateboard till you get home. I love you, babe.
Yeah, same here. I'll check in tomorrow. I love you. So, Bruce, how are you?
Great. You won't believe it, but later for that. I got a table booked at McLean's. We got some catching up to do. I gave Denny my cell phone number. You're covered. Want the last clock?
I'd explode.
Me too. Okay, well, cheers. Here's to, your wife. My big brother's best friend married to Senator Green's daughter. It's a wonder the Royal Nova Scotia Yacht Squadron didn't slide into the arm. Now, 6 years I've run the biggest insurance firm in town, and I still can't get an invite to one of those really important South End affairs.
Yeah? Well, there's a secret to that.
What's that?
You gotta own the insurance company.
Yeah, Bruce McKenzie. Yeah, he's right here. Denny.
Yeah?
Train will be passing by Prince's Lodge before you know it. See ya, bud.
Right.
So, what's shaking?
The freight I've been waiting for is coming in.
Well, great. Hey, waiter. Yeah, can we get the check?
Yes, that's the one. LX3450D.
Careful with that. It's evidence.
It's a GD can, buddy. They're friggin' indestructible.
Great. You got a key or something?
You sure you got that warrant?
When did you turn into a lawyer, Freddy?
Do I know you, buddy? Lauren Lifting. Carlin, now you?
Last time I looked.
Jesus. Putting on the pounds, ain't you?
Passed for days up there in T.O., Fred. Let's do it.
Nothing. An empty tin can with 10 50-pound lead bars strewn over the floor. And that was it. I'd been chasing smoke while my partner, Velchev, and the stolen goods were headed anywhere but Halifax.
My company insures the whole pier, and I'm telling you, if that container seal was intact, the container was shipped empty.
Then explain to me how Belchev made the contents of the storage locker full of stolen goods disappear in half an hour.
Well, could be he's the Bulgarian Doug Henning.
Yeah, well, the trail's gone cold, so I'm out of here first thing in the morning.
You're jumping the gun a bit, aren't you?
You know something I don't?
I know Freddy just got off shift, and I know where he'll be. When it comes to scams on the waterfront, well, he's still Freddy Ferret.
Come on, Freddy. When a container turns up empty, what do you think?
When a container turns up empty, I don't think nothing.
Yeah, usually you're too busy unloading it to think.
You know so much about how things work. Why are you bothering me?
Because I don't know what happened to LX-3450D.
Well, neither do I.
Okay, Fred, cut the crap. I want something we can take home with us. Or would you prefer I send the boys from the station up to check out that garage you got on Merkle Street?
There's nothing in that garage. Just some old antiques, huh? I keep them for my aunt. Look, McNeil, I swear, nobody in Halifax laid a finger on that container. Cops come in within a quarter mile of that pier, and we all know something's going on.
Then how did Belchev clean it out?
One container looks the same as the next, except for the ID number painted on the side. All it takes is the right waybill, a stencil, a can of spray paint, enough time, and I don't even have to be a dry night.
There were 700 other containers in that train. Which one was mine? Back at the hotel, I tried to work it through. I got nowhere. Not surprising, given how long I'd been running on nothing but dread and adrenaline. It was a lonely night. I drank about a gallon of water and went to bed more bent out of shape than a kid on a bad acid trip. Last thing I remember, I was a mess. I woke up 15 hours later in a bed, soaked with sweat.
Okay, I'm coming.
Jeez, boy, a little late for a nap, isn't it?
Oh. What time is it?
7 o'clock. I got a table at Delmonico's.
Oh, God. I need to get a drink of water.
Hello? Oh, hi, Sharon. It's Bruce. Bruce McKenzie. Yeah, how are you? No, we've never met, but I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, your wife. He's right here.
So, hi.
Marty, you said you'd call the doctor.
Yeah. Sorry, I slipped my mind.
Well, he phoned again, and this time we talked.
What did he say?
He said you've got a blood sugar count of 27.8.
Hey, that's 0.8 higher than my IQ.
Not funny, Marty. He says it could be a symptom of diabetes.
It could be, but it's not. I've had a couple of run-ins with the flu, but I don't have diabetes.
Phillips wants you to go to a doctor first thing tomorrow.
Sharon, I don't have time.
Martin.
Okay. Okay, I'll go. Okay?
Fine.
So, what are you doing anyway?
Wrapping Christmas presents. I took Mary to the Price Club. Had to buy something. She just kept talking about what she was going to get Brian. You got anything yet?
Sure. An empty container. And a theory that Belchev pulled a switch by altering the ID numbers. All I've got to work with is a printout listing 700 other containers that were on that train. If one of them is Arcane, I sure as hell don't know how I'm going to find it.
Well, something must make your container different from the other 699.
Right. What's inside it? But how do I figure that out?
Well, if they were Christmas presents, I could send Pat down to rattle them for you.
Yeah, that's a day. Rattle them, get the heft of the thing. Big box, Dad, but no weight. Disc man, right? Jesus. That's it.
What?
Compare the weight. It's right here on the freight list. Belchev's container weighed in at 2.56 tons. If there is another container with the same tonnage, here it is. CD-249FD. To be held for shipment in Rotterdam. I love you.
Then you take care of yourself. See the doctor, eh?
I'm on my way. Did I say I love you? Yeah. Bye.
Diabetes?
Sounds like the name of a band my kid would play in. We got the container. Foreign destination routed through Rotterdam. To be held there for shipment to another destination.
So he's not here.
Who?
Belchev. If the container was routed direct to Rotterdam, then...
Then there's no reason for Veltchev to come to Halifax to make the switch. Damn it all, my brain's working like a truck stuck in the mud.
What's this diabetes thing?
It's nothing. It's just my blood sugar's up. They probably got my sample mixed up with some pastry chef.
Marty, I'm in the insurance business. I eat medical statistics. 1 in 10 Canadians is diabetic, and you've got classic symptoms. Weight problem, high blood sugar, excessive thirst, unusual sleep patterns. And then there's those erratic mood swings.
Erratic mood swings?
Denny told me you chewed his head off coming in from the airport.
So I've got a temper.
Yeah, but taking a go at McNeil? Come on. Maybe you'd better see my doctor before you start passing out in the street.
Nobody blindsided me. I passed out.
What?
Back in Toronto, I thought one of Veltchev's guys knocked me out. That's not what happened. I had some kind of diabetic attack, fell, hit my head in the dumpster, and they wouldn't have killed Brian and left me alive. That's what I thought. But they didn't even know I was there. And that means Brian's dead.
Your partner?
Yeah. Veltchev shoots them, then they panic. What to do with the body? They're debating the problem when the truck shows up. So they get rid of the body the fastest way they can.
How?
The container.
But your bad guy's got to know you'll be chasing it.
He doesn't even know I exist. And anyway, he's pulling a switch on the numbers. If anybody goes looking for his can, what are they going to find? An empty box.
So Brian gets shipped offshore in the real container?
No, that won't work. 3 weeks at sea, another week in Rotterdam? You couldn't hide the smell. Veltchev has to deal with Brian's body before the container leaves Halifax.
Marty, most of those containers... they're going up tonight.
After midnight, the port was still cooking. The huge crane sliding up and down the rows of containers like some grotesque species of daddy long legs caught in the sulfurous light. A big ship alongside the dock, loading fast. A cold fog hovering over Black Rock Beach. Bruce and me watching the can I know holds my partner's body.
We should have called Danny.
One whiff of the cops and Veltchev's history.
We've been here 3 hours, Marty.
So what?
Well, maybe you got it figured wrong.
No. He'll make his move before they load the container. Then right on cue, Veltchev comes strolling along the row, looking like he'd worked the port his whole life.
All right. Let's wait.
He has to open the can to tie him to the body. I squat, focusing everything I've got into a tight little ball of rage. Veltchev slowly opens the container. He leans in, a long, still moment, and then... Brian.
Stanko Veltchev, you're under arrest.
He's got a gun.
Get down.
I hit Bruce hard, driving him back behind the row of containers. It hurt.
You okay?
Yeah. Where is he?
I don't know. I got up, slow, gasping for breath and fumbling for my gun. Then...
There! He's headed for the fence. Veltchev! Stop or I'll shoot!
He spun, leveled his weapon, and we both fired. Then it was like something out of Monty Python. 16 tons plunging from 30 feet straight down, but almost in slow mo. Veltchev's head starting to cock upward. It's not very clear after that. Little shards of memory. Bruce calling for help. Police cars. Denny making me sit down. Freddy pacing the dock, panicked.
There was nothing I could do. I mean, I'm up there riding the crane, and suddenly, pop, pop, bullets flying every which way. I just dropped the stick and ducked.
I remember how slowly the big crane hoisted the fallen container into the air. And Veltchev smeared across the pavement like some kind of obscene roadkill.
Dead man's switch should have kicked in, but I don't know. Something got snagged, and kaboom! Never killed nobody down there before.
Mark, you okay?
That's Veltchev.
Look at you, bud.
He's soaking with sweat.
Yeah. Martin?
I returned fire, Denny. I didn't...
Yeah, don't worry about any of that now, son. Come on. We gotta get you to a hospital.
The next morning, I woke up to find Sharon sitting beside me, doing her best to look happy. Denny and Bruce stood in the doorway, edgy as two kids skating the first freeze on Chocolate Lake.
So, how's she going?
Been better.
Yeah. So?
So, I'm going to resign.
Well, now that's no way to play it, Barton.
Back in Toronto, I'll be a desk case who got his partner killed, pushing paper until I get sick enough to go on disability.
Look, Marty, diabetes is not the end of the world. Worst comes to worst, you're going to kick 10 years earlier than I do. But they're the worst 10 years anyway.
Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Think nothing of it. And as far as your resignation is concerned, I'm all for it.
You don't know what you're talking about, Bruce.
No. I have an opening for an insurance investigator. And it definitely pays better than being a cop in Toronto. Interested?
Geez, Bruce. This diabetes thing.
Ah, big hairy deal. At the moment, you're a wreck. But you still saved my life. So what do you say?
I'll have to talk to Sharon.
Would you like us to leave?
It's okay, Denny. Sharon?
I love the idea. It gives you a chance to get better, and gets Patty out of T.O. before he ends up in jail.
Great. I mean, if you're okay with it.
I'm more than okay with it, Marty. This is my hometown, right?
Right. Okay.
Welcome home, bud.
You have just heard episode 1 of our new series, In the Blood, entitled Self-Contained. The series is written by Paul Ledoux. Featured in the cast were Barry Dunn as Marty Carlin, John Fulton as Denny McNeil, Jennifer Overton as Sharon Carlin, Jamie Bradley as Bruce McKenzie, Chris Shore as Brian, Andre Mahankov as Velchev, Lori LaViolette as Freddie Ferret, Bruce Armstrong as E.M. Matthews, and Steve Abbas as Eddie. Casting is by John Dunsworth of Filmworks and Alex Duncan. The music was created by Dave Burton. The recording engineer was Pat Martin, with sound effects by Dermot Kenny. The associate producer is Peggy Hemsworth. In the Blood is produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, the executive producer of the Mystery Project. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting you back next time for Marty Carlin's second adventure on In the Blood. It's called Another Scoop.